Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Zone Time. I'm Julian. Sam is back after a week hiatus. Good to see you, Sam. Avery is here. Tic-Tac-Tomar is also here. I gotta say, guys, trying to plan the show this week was a little bit of a grind because absolutely nothing happened this past weekend. So I don't know. Like, no one made any big trades. No one made any big signings. No one did anything stupid. No one scored like a hat trick or anything like that. So there was absolutely nothing.
I have a question. What? I have a question in response to that lead-in. Sure. Sam and Avery, what is Julian currently wearing on his head?
He's wearing a White Sox cap.
A cap? They're yes. They're nothing talked about. What? What are you saying
that's
to me?
Good.
What?
That's good. That's really good. You know what? I'll take that. Yes. We're gonna talk about the big Ryan O'Reilly trade. We're gonna talk about Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. The Oilers. We're gonna mention the Oilers. I wanna do some smaller stuff. I mean, we haven't really talked about the fact that guys are getting scratched for trade related reasons. Do we think that's stupid? Do we think it's cool? Do we think it means anything? I mean, this is the era that we're in right now where we're just – Jacob Chychrun at the time of this recording is still scratched because of such reasons. How do we feel about the NHL being known for trade-related reasons?
I mean, in a sport like hockey where, like, anything could happen, like, hasn't Cale Makar been hit in the face, like – twice in like the last like month or something, you know? Matthew Barzell's like out indefinitely. So, you know, like, if you're a team that like really wants a player like Jacob Chychrun or like one of these targets, like, you know, you want to make sure that when they get there, they're actually healthy and nothing goes wrong. Because if you give up a first and some prospects for a player and you think that they're healthy and they're not, you go into the playoffs and then you lose pretty badly. How do I know? Because Nick Foligno. Was it his fault? No, but you know, it would have been cool if he was healthy anyway. So I understand it.
Thank you for making it about the Leafs.
Yes, 100%. Right? I get it. In a sport like hockey, like, I understand like teams like holding off. Now, I they kind of made it seem as if like a deal was like imminent.
Yeah.
And it has been a while now, but I don't know. I guess like if you're giving up like this much, like, you know, capital as we're assuming it's going to be for a player like Chychrun, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
See, my issue is that I don't like the idea of scratching a player if the deal isn't going to be done for another week or two. You have a player now sitting for 5, 6, 7 games. I think there should be a rule in place in CBA saying a trailer at scratch can't go longer than, say, 2 games or 48 hours. You can't scratch a player for that long. Also, too, they're also, say, for example, what is the player bonus? What player, I know, has a player bonus in his contract?
That's
now,
a good point.
Now do a trade, he scratched for 7 games and miss out on his bonus? I don't like that at all.
Sam, your thoughts?
Yeah, Avery raises a good point about the bonuses. Otherwise, I would say, you know, the team kind of takes on a little bit of risk there too, right? Like, the longer you scratch a player, arguably you're lowering their trade value as well. Like, there's only so long you can play that game for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Like, by counterpoint to Avery's point about, you know what, you can only have so many games to scratch a guy. What if I was just an NHL team? I just lied about it. We just said, okay, I mean, you know, we're just scratching him like an illness, non-COVID illness, lower body injury.
That's
why I just tell everybody, you know what it was when you signed up. Let everyone know, like, oh, it may be a trade related reason. It might not be a trade related reason. Yeah. I don't know. But I definitely just think it's just annoying to go like a week where you're scratched and then like still nothing has happened. Like it could have been like the Tyler Mott thing where like Bruce Garriott couldn't even get the tweet out before like the trade went through. Now he goes back to the New York Rangers. If you're going to scratch a guy for trade related reasons, give me the trade within like 48 hours.
Yeah.
Like give me that.
Yeah, you definitely. Know? And I think a team like Arizona, they're probably like, well, Jacob Chikrin's our best player. And if he's not in the lineup, there's like a double whammy positive. However, they're like 5-1-4 in their last 10. So they're still getting points despite the fact that he's not in the lineup, which could hurt the trade value. I don't know. That would be kind of funny. But I don't know. It is definitely annoying. I think the Tyler Mott situation was okay. But the Chikrin, like I thought he was going to get traded like the Monday. I think it started maybe like the Friday to the Thursday. Yeah. I thought it was like, okay. They're going to take the weekend to figure it out. Then he's going to be like, I don't know, like in LA or something. But like what's the holdup, man? Like get it done. Like, I don't know what else they're waiting for.
All right, guys, I've held off long enough. Omar's excited enough. Let's talk about this Ryan O'Reilly trade. Let's just do that, okay?
Let's just
get that out the way.
I'm a fraud.
You are a fraud.
I'm a fraud.
You are a fraud. I'm glad that you admitted it on this show. Not only did you say it was a red flag, if you look at the YouTube video that's posted about the show, he's the damn thumbnail for trade deadline flags. Explain yourself.
Yes, I'm a fraud. Because before, when the idea of like the Leafs getting Ryan O'Reilly, I was like, you know what? Like he just broke his foot, and like I don't know. Exactly. Maybe we can like focus on something else. I'm not gonna lie. At the time, I was on team Timo Meier. However, they made the trade, and I lost it. I went nuts. I saw the deal. Only picks, no prospects, no one from the roster. I was like, Kyle,
Matthew Nyes is still a Leaf.
Matthew Nyes still a Leaf. Like there are so many things that could have gone wrong with it. And again, watching him play, watching him put the Leafs jersey on and like literally a first shift, grade A scoring chance. We lost against Chicago, but they literally almost went like through the entire team, almost had a nasty backhander. I'm a fraud. It was not a red flag. It was a sick trade. It was an awesome trade. I'm a fraud.
Well, I mean, it's okay to admit that. You know what? When it comes time for us to do that episode where we admit things that we're wrong about, I guess that could. No,
that's number
you know
one.
What? You said Flames. You said Flames and Calgary was going to Flames and Leafs would be a Stanley Cup final.
He also said the Leafs are going to win the Cup.
Yeah.
Can we stop?
Maybe they will with ROR.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know if we're getting Flames Leafs.
Absolutely not.
We're not getting Flames Leafs.
Flames are in trouble.
Yeah, they're in big, big, big trouble. But yeah, what about everybody else? How did everyone else take the Ryan O'Reilly news?
You know, I would say in terms of a forward, you know, we see what Ryan O'Reilly can do before in the playoffs. We've seen him have success before with St. Louis. We know what he's done before in Buffalo. It's a great deal. It's a good addition to the Leafs forward core that could hopefully get them past the first round for the first time since the advent of HDTV.
Okay, we didn't need to add. We didn't need to add that detail, Avery. Okay, I'm trying to.
Do you remember when things were HD, became HD, and how wonderful that technology was and how big of a deal that was? What a time.
Yeah, now it's like, hey, look at this, like 5G. We're going to show the goal, but just like rotate it. Hey, look, it's at a different angle.
Were Blu-ray DVDs a thing in 2004?
I don't know.
They're just coming on.
So was it just, was the beginning of the Blu-ray HD DVD fight?
Mm-hmm.
What else happened in 2004? We might as well just do this now. Just go through every single thing that what the world was like 20 years ago.
Do you see why I'm damaged and why I get so mad?
You kind of did it to yourself.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Watching an NHL game in 2004 and seeing how bad the picture quality was from 2004. Bro. Oh my gosh.
Avery, I watch I've seen like Calgary Flames highlights from the 04 run. The Saddle Dome looks exactly the same. That's how old it is. That's how old it is, dude. It's crazy. I was away from my, anyway, to the present day, I was away from my phone the entire night. And then, like, it was around like midnight, just before I was going to bed, I just checked it just to see. And like, this thing just blew up my damn phone. I had recorded like a podcast with one of the other people I do podcasts with, and it was rendered irrelevant at like 10:52 Eastern time, because it was not going to make any mention of Ryan O'Reilly. And you could all figure out which podcast this was. If we had let that go out there without any mention of Ryan O'Reilly, we were going to get cooked. Oh, we were going to get cooked. Absolutely. But hey, congratulations, man. You got a Conn Smythe winner. You got a guy who can slot in your middle six. You're pushing John Tavares to the wing. You know what, Omar? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now.
Okay.
After that trade was done, I started watching some videos, you know, the Steve Dangle videos, go back on videos where you freaked out. And I started thinking, you know what? We might have to treasure this, because the jokes might stop. They might. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I thought about it. I was like, man, like, maybe the Leafs did it. Maybe they did the move that could, unless like the Lightning get like Patrick Kane or something. But like, I mean, like,
I've seen the same thing.
The Lightning are probably not going to get Patrick Kane. They don't need Patrick Kane.
Okay,
to be clear, I'm just making a joke. But like, no, like, maybe this is it. I'm not gonna lay myself.
I don't know. But
maybe this is it.
It's a great addition. I thought the best part of the deal was the 75% retained.
Yeah,
that's actually an outrageous amount of salary retention.
It's incredible. A third team involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm literally waiting for Tampa to do something, because Tampa always does something. Even I saw somewhere that Boston's gonna get Gavrikov, and how
that could still happen.
How this was the, but I thought this was the, we don't have any more picks and prospects, so we're gonna go for it. How? So I don't know. Hopefully, I think I will. You know what? Whatever happens,
yeah.
And I'm saying this now. Whatever happens, I cannot look Kyle Dubas in the face and say at least he didn't try. The man made a move. He showed the roster. You know what? I believe in you here. So it's on them. It is on them.
You could say it's been on them for a while, but.
True. But it is even more on them. There's an extra layer of on them now. Okay. And we'll see how things go. Hopefully, he says optimistically.
Do you think you're going to do anything else?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think to Sam's point, like, the retention on it was puzzling for me, because they didn't have to have his cap hit so low. Like right now on his cap friendly, like, is that like 1.8 or something?
1.875 million.
So I don't know if maybe like they have like a concrete plan of like, we need to get someone else, but maybe they kind of wanted to leave the room in case they did want to get someone else. I do think there could be another area where maybe you add another forward and you push someone further down. Maybe you do improve on the defense and, you know, have some people who are playing too high in the lineup, in my opinion, Justin Hall. So, you know, maybe there are some things that happen there. But like, again, if there's ever a year to have multiple additions, like from multiple teams ahead of a deadline, like this would be it. And you know what? I'm happy so far.
Is this show going to be okay if the Leafs went around this year?
Yes.
Like the future, sure? Of the show, like the jokes, yes. And everything. I just, am I crazy here? I'm not trying to be mean. I genuinely want to know, are we going to be okay if we went around? Yeah, sorry, not if we, if
Omar, no, we, yo,
no, 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 I'm not, no, we, I'm not part, no, of,
I,
who's we, no,
I
ain't we, I'm not we,
I understand, don't listen, me, I listen, I understand, I understand that, you know, you all do the whole, like, I'm not a fan thing, you know,
I'm not,
Julian McKenzie and Avery Lucas McDougal are not Leafs fans. Sam Chang, sure, is not a Leafs fan. However,
I'm not a Leafs fan, but I would be very happy for you.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that day, that day, we will all embrace that happiness, and there will be the funeral, the end of the chirps. And I will have a long, long parchment paper, and I will read out every single chirp, and I will say, done, over. 67?
No.
Yeah.
Went around? Gone.
Yeah, I think the win around. Gone. I think we can admit the win around jokes will be done. It was like the 2004 jokes will be done.
Done.
Somebody's just gonna they're gonna pivot to like you've won one round in X years.
And like, yeah, better than zero.
This is true.
But you know, if the Leafs were to win the cup, Omar's gonna come on here on the show with the fattest cigar in the world, put his feet up and say, Talk.
Exactly. Salad.
I could almost get on board with the Leafs winning the cup just for this show, just for the good of this show.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's amazing. The only saving grace we have, because we could go into like a near apocalyptic like zone on Twitter. Like no one would be safe.
Oh, it would be incredible.
Editor and Leaf would be like running rampant.
We don't claim that site.
That
site has some wild.
I think it would be fine. I think I've muted like the annoying part of Leafs Twitter. I have like a very peaceful Leafs existence on my hockey Twitter. Yeah.
That's incredible, considering the amount of people you dunk on a daily basis.
That's true. That's Vancouver, though. She dunks.
Do you know how much time it would take for me to go through all of the people I muted?
You might go back all the way to 2004.
Oh, full circle.
Okay, probably not that far back. Okay, so Ryan O'Reilly, looks like we all agree it's kind of a good move. Yep. Maybe the Leafs do something again before the deadline. Y'all better go win this round. If y'all don't win this round, I don't know what y'all gonna do. But hey, looks like it could happen. It could be the end of some Leaf jokes, and Omar might cry on camera, and it might be one of the most beautiful things we've ever seen.
Yes, that would be very, very pleasant, and it would be such a nice story. And then the counterpoint to that would be very, very horrifying. And then, you know, oh, Matthews is going to leave and Dubas is going to get fired and Keith's going to get fired and Nylander is going to walk. And oh my God, the All-Star game is going to be brutal. And it's like,
okay, we'll worry about the negatives. In okay. We'll worry about the negatives for you. We should mention though. Yes, the Leafs did lose to Chicago over the weekend. One Patrick Kane decided to show up. He had 9 goals in his first 50 games in Chicago. He's 5 goals in his last 2 games before today. What a dude. What's going to happen with him? Is he still going to get traded? I mean, we all know Jonathan Toews is probably not going to move because of the issues he's still dealing with long COVID, with the immune system as well. It's a bit of an issue with him right now. Kind of sucks. But also with Patrick Kane, what's his future? Where is he going to go? More importantly, the way these last 2 games have gone, he gets a multi-goal game against Ottawa. He gets a multi-goal game against Toronto. If you're a team that needs a piece like maybe a Patrick Kane, do these games sway you in any way? Like, is he still worth making a move for just because he had 2 really good games?
I think it depends on what the ask is, because, you know, yes, you know, NHL GMs love to do the whole "you did that once" thing. You know, a player has a great playoff run. Okay, here's a long-term contract, even though you only did it once, right? So, like, for me, I'd have to look at the year in a collective. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, like, you know, like, you went into this year, you knew what was up. Kyle Davidson threw Alex DeBrincat out the window. Like they you knew what was up. So, like, and again, last year you had 92 points. This year, like, the injury is one thing. It's just like the effort. Like the first time, the first game against the Leafs, like, people were making a comparison to Pierre-Luc Dubois when Dubois wanted out, and just like the lack of effort, just like it was just cardio, just like skating out there.
That was pretty terrible.
So I just think it comes down to like what the honest ask is, and again, like what team Kane wants to play for, because he gets the fondest. It doesn't really matter like what other teams come in. It just depends on like who the team is, what the ask is going to be. Like, I don't know. Like, I think if you're Davidson, you're asking for like a first and like a couple of top prospects. Like, and I'm a team, I'd say, I don't know. I don't think that's a deal to be made. So it's all in flux, I think.
A first and a couple of prospects, when you could put that towards Timo Meier.
Like, Meyer's still there out there.
I don't know about that. I think in terms of purely on ice stuff, like, Patrick Kane can be a very dynamic player for any team. I get it, you're not going to get the good defense, but like, this is a dude who's won Stanley Cups and he knows what to do in the playoffs. And he, again, a really dynamic player. Like, I still find it really interesting that like just off of star power alone, like his name has been kind of undervalued when you're looking at names that are available on the trade market. And I get it. There are guys who like Timo Meier who are healthier, have produced a lot more, probably a little bit more valuable on the market. But also, like, I don't know. Like, I just kind of figured that, like, maybe people would be kind of jumping a little bit more for Patrick Kane. But I don't know. Dude might not even end up moving. There was that rumor that, like, Edmonton could be in on Patrick Kane. I wonder if from the CJ show, I can say that was said. Like, maybe the Oilers might have interest in Patrick Kane. That would be very – there's a video of me, like, laughing about it. Like, what if, like, the Oilers do this? Like, this feels like a year where, like, Ken Holland heard everyone saying, like, okay, you have to do something in order to ensure that, like, you give it the good old college try to make sure Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl win something. Maybe he does this, or Carlson, or he still finds a way to overpay, but at least he said he did something. Avery, am I crazy for this? Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, I don't think Patrick Kane's your target. That should not be your guy. Even though it's rumored, even though it's been floated out there, I think your number one target, I'll say it again, number one target has to be Erik Karlsson. That is the guy who this team needs as a offensive defenseman who can get the puck with crisp passing to Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, Hyman, Kane, Yamama. Like, this is the kind of guy that's team
needs. I was about to say, that's a weird way of saying Kyler Yamamoto's name.
Wow.
Jesus.
That's a guy this team needs. I mean, he's on pace to win a Norris. He's on pace to have over 100 points this season as a defenseman. And this is a team like Ken Holland company. You have to find a way to figure out the money. Get a third team involved. Get a fourth team. Get 18 more teams. Make money work somehow.
I was going to say, I don't know how you can afford that.
Do what you got to do.
11.5 and you have $0 in cap space?
The biggest Golden Knights always have negative dollars and they still like make it work. Like, yeah,
they put their guys at LTIR and they just exceed the cap.
Good teams figure out how to bring in these assets and make the money work.
The Oilers have already used, what, $8.3 million LTIR? So cap friendly, telling me? Like, how much more can you get on there?
GMs will find a way. They'll find more. They'll LTIR the team doctor make it work.
Omar looks like he has an idea, and I'm not sure how to take it.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. We make the joke all the time that Ken Holm likes to do the whole back when I was the Detroit Red Wings GM thing. He's a person who who thinks past first and then present and then future.
Yes.
I could see Ken Holland think, you know what? If we get Patrick Kane, he's a winner and all yada yada. And you know what? Like, they still have to move Puljujärvi and he makes three. So that would be really funny. That would be really funny.
Puljujärvi.
Like on paper, does it make the Oilers better? Probably, because you're adding another lethal asset. But it would be really funny, and they could make the money work. I don't know. Again, I don't know what the ask would be. I really don't know what Kyle Davidson is asking teams for. And I think that would make it easier to have those conversations. I've seen that I think Dallas might be a team in, but again, I don't know what the ask is. So the Patrick Kane to Edmonton, based off of Ken Holland's focus on things that people have done in the past, and if he's focused on players who have produced in the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Kane ends up being an Oiler, and I think they could find a way to make it work, because I don't think it would take that much creativity to make over a little over $5 million to work on the Oilers cap. So that'd be funny.
I'm just all in for chaos with the Edmonton Oilers. I'll just be frank and honest with you. If the Calgary Flames are going to be quiet at the deadline, I just hope the team up north is going to do something to make that deadline day worthwhile for me to watch. Because I don't know what's going to happen in this market, man. Especially if they're going to lose games against Philadelphia.
Go on, Sam. Sam does this thing where, like, sometimes, like, when we're talking about something, I see the humors. Just like,
I think everybody on the show has that.
I got nothing to say about Patrick Kane to Edmonton, other than that I was just genuinely trying to imagine a team with both Canes on it.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. P. Kane, E. Kane.
Yeah,
and they're very interesting personas. I'll leave it at that with those two. I don't know, but the Oilers
have not the move they should be making.
Probably not. But the Oilers have to do something. Yeah. The Oilers have to do something. There's no way they go through this deadline.
Get a defenseman.
If the Oilers don't make a move and see, for example, they were to lose in round one, clean house. Holland.
You think though,
like a Saturday morning in a West Indian household. He said clean house. Sorry. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. You had a rant in you. Sorry.
No, it's like this is a team, like, again, you're in year 9 of Draisaitl. You're 8 in McDavid. It can't all be about, you know, oh, I don't want to leave the covers bare for the future. You have two of the best players in the world right now on your roster. You have 4 players on pace chasing 30 goals and 100 points. If not now, when?
And plus, like, the last few games they've played, it's like we talk about how good this offense is. They're blowing leads. The time for a defenseman may not be stronger than right now. May not be more apparent.
Yeah, and you
Joel
see,
Edmondson,
like, again,
come on down. No, I'm kidding.
No, but there are other teams. There are other teams who have already started to throw their first round picks, like, out the window.
Yep.
And that's been something that Ken Holland has said, like, you know, like, you know, you have to retain the picks and stuff. But, like, hey, man, like, all these other teams, like, are aware of how deep this draft is, and they're freaking the least through their freaking first round pick. And, you know, we already had a conversation about that. So, like, I can't see it would be a very dark day, I think, in Edmonton if, like, March 3rd passes and the Edmonton still has their first round pick. Like, I think something went wrong. Because, like, again, to Avery's point, like, we are in, like, years plus of these two. McDavid just hit 100 points, man. Like come on. You have to be in it, like, every single year. And, yeah, the players have said what they wanted. Yeah, we're making the jokes about Patrick Kane there. You know, Sam, I think we make some great points and it doesn't make sense. And it's all about the defense. And the players want the defense. And we talked about this not so long ago. Like, they want a puck-moving defenseman. And if it's not Erik Karlsson, which I don't know how they can fit that, then it has to be someone. Who knows?
It has to be somebody. Yeah. What about, I wrote down on my rundown, a tank awareness check in Vancouver. How is it going in Vancouver? I feel like we haven't really caught up with the Canucks in a little bit. Before today began, I learned that the Arizona Coyotes, by like 1%, have a better points percentage than the Vancouver Canucks.
And the Coyotes keep winning.
Yep. They've been good.
It's my dream. I want the Coyotes to keep winning. I need the Blackhawks to keep winning. And I need the Canucks to keep doing whatever they've been doing, which is playing Artur Sealovs, which is a great story. Got his first NHL win. I was totally fine with that. The Canucks have been losing a ton of games that they probably should have been winning. Rick Tocchet seems to really understand the tanking assignment. I think when they were playing the Rangers the other night at the end of the first period, the Canucks time on ice leader was Riley Stillman.
There we go.
At the end of the first period, it was great. They sent Spencer Martin down. They're playing Colin Delia and Artur Sealovs. And Sealovs is fantastic. He's like their top goaltending prospect. He's going to be very good. He was a steal in the 6th round, but, like, they played him against the Rangers. He put up a decent show, and then he beat the Flyers. So it was like, you know, you didn't tank his confidence. You got him a couple of starts, but he's not going to get them any unnecessary wins, thankfully. Mm.
Is Rick Tocchet doing this better than I thought he was? Because
Demko was supposed to come back. Demko was supposed to come back on Saturday to back up against Philly, and then he apparently tweaked something and set back his injury comeback.
Ooh. Ooh.
Mm. Ooh.
That triggers my Lou flashback.
Ooh. I think they should shut Demko down for the season.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, why not?
I mean, I don't think there's any issue with that. If you're putting yourself in a position where you seem to be, your tank awareness seems to be getting better and better by the day.
I think if they actually shut him down, and this is not like my own idea, but Cody Sievertson from Canucks Army suggested to me that he would believe that the Canucks were deliberately tanking if or when they shut Thatcher Demko down for the season. And I think that's right. But I think until then, it's kind of like accidental on purpose still.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe like if the trade situation is still going on there, maybe move them at the draft. You get some more picks. Maybe you coop up some more assets. I like, wait, look at that.
They the move Vancouver out. They move Miller, Demko, Besser, and Shen.
That's tidy business.
Yeah,
that's tidy business.
Patrick Alvin redeems himself.
And frankly, even if they moved three of the four and they kept Demko, it would be yeah. fine.
Especially yeah. if you get like some team throwing out like a first round pick for Luke Shen,
which
possibly. Do you know how good he's been?
He's been good, yeah, he's really cheap. Someone might do
he's
it.
Been really good. In my ideal scenario, because he's really good with Quinn Hughes, my ideal scenario, he goes as a rental to some cup contender. He wins his third cup in four years. And then he just signs with the Canucks again.
That'd be sick. I love when teams do that.
That's what I want.
It's good asset management.
It's great asset yeah. management.
Good also, for... if the Canucks trade Miller, then Alvin gets a statue. Like I will head the production. That's one trade that would genuinely shock me. Like
they're not going to do it.
If they were able to pull it off, that'd be wicked.
Was that Twitter poll you found the other day with a JT Miller trade, Sam?
Oh, today.
Oh, it was today. Sorry, my bad. That other day.
JT Miller for Milan Lucic. 1-for-1. Nothing else added. Jeez. Who says no? Flames or Vancouver?
I said this before we record. You throw in a first and a prospect, I think that's a done deal.
Yeah, you throw in a first and a prospect, that's a done deal. But like, listen, I criticize JT Miller as much as anyone. I think his defensive game is ass. I find him kind of annoying, but like the guy he's played 56 games. He's got 51 points. He's still almost on a point per game basis. That's 2 years in a row that he's a point per game player. You're telling me you can't get more than a cap dump in the form of Milan Lucic for that?
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
I feel like the Flames say no only because like Milan Lucic is there. Like they'll have that money off the books. And they don't need any more money kind of handcuffing them into next year and years beyond. And if the defense is bad on a team that still, as of this recording, has Daryl Sutter as their head coach, ooh, that's not going to go well. No, no. Daryl Sutter would have to go if that's the case.
When did he get extended again?
Like,
and for how long?
2 years before the beginning of this season, like I think during training camp. Daryl Sutter.
Yeah, I
think Daryl Sutter. What like Daryl Sutter kind of coach, cut from the cloth of those old school coaches where players tune them out after a certain time. I think he's running. I think you're running into the end of the Sutter era once again. Daryl Sutter can't coach a modern NHL team for a 5, 6, 7, 8 years before pissing off his locker room, like guys like him, Mike Keenan do eventually. So I will not be surprised if we hear at some point next year Daryl Sutter is getting the axe in Calgary.
Like,
I was surprised when they hired him.
I think it was like one of those, like, maybe get out of jail is not the right term for it. But I think when the Flames needed a coach, they were just like, okay, fine. We're just going to do this one. Just break glass in case of emergency type of deal. And it worked for a little bit, but it just with the roster he has now, where you have Huberto, whose pace has fallen off. Mackenzie Weegar has like what, one goal to his name, and he was sold as a good two-way defenseman.
That's not being talked about enough, in my opinion.
I think his defensive metrics, and he looked good defensively at times, but like this guy was supposed to produce more offensively, and he knows it too.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like I just, you can't tell me with all these pieces that are there, this is the result that you get. Like, if in a different situation, and I've said this on different podcasts, in a different situation where Daryl Sutter is not extended, the move to do is to let him go. Like, and you probably might have done that like already by now, because you can't afford to have a coach kind of mess it up. But you just extended him. And he also, not only is he in Calgary, like people, I mean, it feels like he has this power, this grip on the organization, that like at the very least, like, he's probably not going to lose his job before the extension. I look, if we end up being wrong, this clip ends up going out tomorrow and Daryl Sutter, I have to run to the Sal Dome for a press conference about who the interim coach is going to be. Look, we'll address it. I'll be like, hey, I was wrong.
Who do you think should be the Flames coach instead?
I mean,
there are six Sutters. Three of them have come here. You know what's funny? Sutters have coached Flames. Three of them have coached, which is really weird. Like, you've had Daryl with coach of Flames. You've had Ryan coach Calgary in the 90s. And then you had Brent. How do we know one's going to say, yo, hey, Brian, want to come back?
There's a Sutter.
Yo, Rich, want to...
There's a Sutter on the AHL. I think it's Brent. Which one is it? It's he's the captain of the AHL team.
Brent Sutter.
Yeah, so Brent Sutter is the one who captains the Wranglers. Like, they're everywhere. Like, I'll see one like walk in the press box, and I'm just like, I'm not even gonna try to guess which one this is. Like they're just everywhere. And I'm not saying it disrespectfully. There's just so many Sutters. I met one who's like a scout for the Sabres like earlier in the year. And I'm like, okay, all right, like,
yeah,
bro, like, it's just everywhere. And look, good for them. They built their legacy as NHL players, and they have the hold in Calgary. It's just like, I don't know if this is it with this roster, man. But at the same time, I don't see him getting fired. I feel like ownership likes him too much. I think it has to be a situation where, and maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, I feel like it's going to have to end up being a situation where it's just like the team's going to rebuild and Daryl's just like, I'm not rebuilding, and then I'm out.
But like, you can't rebuild though.
Yeah.
You can't either. You can't.
You can't. And you keep bringing, you mentioned the word like the roster that you have. So like, to back to Sam's question, like who replaces them? Like, it depends on like, okay, are we actually going to like let the roster that you have play that the way that they should be playing? Or are we going to keep playing this like, this dumb game of like, oh no, we're gonna play this way because it's Calgary. Like,
yeah, but okay, Daryl Sutter, you're gonna play Daryl Sutter's way. That's who he is.
To forget Daryl Sutter, like, who do you think we get the most out of this lineup?
They need someone who thinks creatively, offensively, and can allow players like Huberto to take some risks, man. Like, that's what it is. He's making double digits next
Chris
year.
Boudreau.
Yeah, I know.
Literally.
I know. I was trying to think of so many other people before Bruce Boudreau came up.
Nah.
And I think
I sat here thinking about it. I was like, he is the perfect antidote to Daryl Sutter. Like, you could not be more different as a coach. Mm-hmm. Absolute player's coach.
Yep.
And just high offense.
Yeah. But also, like, the thing with Bruce Boudreau too is that, like, I mean, he got hard done in Vancouver. Sometimes his expiry date kind of comes up a little bit too soon, right? Like, you get the offense, some of the other stuff has to come up too. But I would love to see Bruce Boudreau in Calgary. I think it'd be a pretty fun idea if they were willing to entertain that. One other name I thought of, but I don't know if he's doing anything right now or if he's available or anything. Like, Andrew Brunette, who got that success out in Florida. Is he like assistant New Jersey, or I don't know what Andrew Brunette is doing right now. I honestly don't know. He I don't know what he's doing, but like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, oh, all right. Yeah. He did get a DUI.
I was just about to type the same.
Yeah.
Thing
sorry.
In the chat.
My bad. Sorry. I genuinely did not realize that happened. So let's just strike Andrew Brunette from the tape. That's probably not a vibe. Well, you know what? I mean, you know, people have. It's the NHL. People get second chances.
I was gonna say it's not a bad idea. It's
I just lay low for a bit.
I just think you need to get someone that lets the players like Calgary has some like character players like Kadri, Mangiapane, like Tyler Toffoli.
He's good.
When they are on it, like when they're feeling confident, Like, that's when they're at their peak. And I feel like you need to get someone that, like, encourages that and brings them out. And that's why I think, like, Sam's idea of Bruce Boudreaux, like, makes so much sense. Because, like, he lets people, like, literally go in and dive into, like, who they are as players. And, like, when it comes to, like, the Calgary after this year, you have to look at, like, Huberdeau and say, okay, what can we do to get Huberdeau going? Because we have committed the most money to him for the longest amount of time. So, like, I think that's what the focus. Maybe you even talk to Huberdeau and say, okay, like,
who would be a good coach?
Who would be a good, or like what type of, like, system, or what type of, like, I don't know, like overall team play do you feel like the team should lean on, and then go from there? Be like, I just think this whole idea of, like, this is how we want the team to play versus this is what we actually have, like, the disconnect isn't working. And again, the fact that beginning of the season, a lot of people, including myself, had Calgary being a top team, and they're not. Like, so they have to fix that. They have to address that. And they can't just say, like, oh, it's just a one-off year. Like, no. Like, they need something.
This summer is going to be very interesting. We might even get another Alan Walsh tweet.
Oh, man.
Can we talk about that real quick before we get to anything else? Alan Walsh tweeting that the definition of insanity, and then saying, you know, negativity sucking the joy out of, you know, essentially the Flames locker room. It's a shot at Daryl Sutter. Let's call a spade a spade. Alan Walsh and Daryl Sutter are like oil and water. They do not mix.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, like, again, Alan Walsh is a player's agent, man. Like, and when players feel like things aren't smelling right, Alan Walsh says something about it. Funny, one of the funniest moments on hockey Twitter was a picture of Marc-Andre Fleury with a sword through his chest, right? And again, like, there was smoke to that fire. So if this is what Alan Walsh is saying, again, about, or, like, making allusions to the Flames locker room, like, I don't know how your management and not be heavily concerned about that. Like, forget about the perception of it. Like, this is the reality. Like, it doesn't take an Alan Walsh tweet to look at the team and say that something's wrong. They're not in the playoffs in the Pacific Division. Yeah. The Seattle Kraken is there, and you're
West
not.
West is supposed to be wide open, and they can't be.
Billy. Yeah.
It's
I can't remember who said this. Was it Kelly Rudy? I don't know. Someone on Hockey Night in Canada was like, if Alan Walsh did that to me and he was my agent, I would have fired him. I was like,
might have been Kevin Bieksa.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was Rudy or Bieksa.
But one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, why? Like, yeah, why? Like, sure, you can debate whether or not he should have tagged the team. But, like, you know what you're getting when you have Alan Walsh as your agent. Like, yeah. He's very effective at his job. He does it a certain way. It's not for everyone. But, like, he's one of his top clients. It's like, when Marc-Andre Fleury was like, yeah, I had no idea he was going to send that photo out. It's like, yeah, maybe not, like, specifically, but, like, the general concept.
You would, like, are we going to act like, you know, Walsh and Jonathan Huberdeau don't talk throughout the year? Like, exactly. when Daryl Sutter said Jonathan Huberdeau had to go take a shit, like, Alan just kept his ears cupped, kept his hands cupped to his ears the whole time and didn't know what was going on. This is not something that, like, Alan Walsh just sat on and was like, I'm just going to tweet this for shits and giggles just because I feel like it's going to work. This is something that's been brewing for a long time. And the best way I can describe, I think, the situation going on in Calgary right now is, I think we've all had bosses above us who maybe we don't necessarily hate, like, their guts completely, but we definitely think they might be hard asses. And then, like, you kind of bond with your coworkers off the fact that, like, well, at least you're not the hard ass that's above us. That's basically what this is.
And I would want my agent to know what's going on. I would want my agent to know what the Pulse locker room is like. I would want my agent to
know what's going on.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me that, like, I'm just not going to tell my agent what's going on. Like, he might know what to do in that situation. It's just, in that case for Alan Walsh, he just feels that, like, he has to bring that attention with that tweet. I mean, look, we're talking about it.
Yeah. And again,
I mean, like, I think you would have been talking about it regardless. Like, they're losing to the Philadelphia Flyers.
I know there are other teams they've lost to.
Not performing.
Yes.
He's not performing the way anyone would have expected him to. Like, it doesn't take Alan Walsh tweeting that and tagging the Calgary Flames for it to be a storyline.
Exactly. Like, to that point directly, the numbers don't lie. Nope. Last year he had 115 points.
Yep.
And this year he has like 38. Like, come on.
And frankly, like, if you're Alan Walsh, like, who cares what? Who cares? Like, your job is to advocate for your client. His only interest is keeping Jonathan Huberdeau happy.
We're gonna have to. I mean, I feel like these next few months, just keep a thought out for your boy, because I feel like there's gonna be a lot going on in Calgary, and I'm gonna have to do some digging. I feel like you
like a Michael Russo style Paul Fenton takedown.
Oh,
I'm gonna manifest this for you.
All right, Michael Russo, him and I, we're gonna have to get along a little bit more. I'm gonna get some more advice from Michael Russo. Great writer, by the way. Great dude. I think that's everything we wanted to cover with this week's edition of Zone Time, provided no trade broke in the midst of all of this.
No kidding. Also, yeah. Shout out to the Anaheim Ducks. Last place, minus 96 goal differential.
Damn.
Doing great.
I think
I did have one more Canuck thing that we should have talked about earlier.
Uh-oh. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Anthony Beauvillier has more goals and points than Bo Horvat has since the trade.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. I saw that the other day. Yeah.
Man.
Bo Horvat, I think my point about Bo Horvat, it just increases even more. He fleeced the New York Islanders. Get that bag, sir.
He did. Yeah.
Good on you, sir.
Man, do you think
he's fine too, but just
that because now I don't know, like Barzal being out, like, kind of like tanks their chances of making the playoffs. And like, you think maybe in another universe where they didn't extend him, like maybe you flip him again.
Yeah,
like
they should.
Another team
probably could have waited, but they signed
him. Flip him with that contract.
Yeah, can't really do that. Unless you want trade back.
As a player,
Beauvillier is now playing with Elias Pettersson, so
who's also having a good season. Good for him.
He had a career high
5-point night, third 5-point night of the season last night.
Good for Petey. Yeah. Good for him. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's on pace for 107 points.
Well, there you go.
Tito's going to make the playoffs. Damn. It's okay. It's okay. Maybe next year.
He has 107 points on a team that is absolute garbage.
That's good. That is
very good.
Always believed in Elias Pettersson, man. Always believed in that kid. He's not really a kid anymore. He's like 20. He's a kid. He's like 20. I'm trying to guess what he is. Yeah. Okay. I was going to guess 23. I'm not that far off. Mm. All right. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Zone Time. We inch closer and closer to the NHL trade deadline. Maybe there will be more fireworks. Maybe there will be more guys scratched for trade related reasons. Subscribe to the podcast, however you listen to podcasts, and we'll be back next week. Peace.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.